So the ceremony is such that we in fact go through the means of chalitza to release her, that she will not be stuck as an aguna. Okay? Now, the truth is, I unfortunately have a Talmud of mine that was married a woman, and 3 months later, he passed away. He had a heart problem. And she needed chalitza because he died without any kids, and therefore the surviving brother had to do chalitza. It's a terrible story. But we do chalitza nowadays, and I want to just begin by showing you the shoe. Okay? You see this shoe? It's like a boot. And it's strapped up on his leg, and it's removed. Okay? It's a real shoe. And it's a leather shoe, and we'll get to the details of that. But this is the process that has to be fulfilled in order to release her. Okay? Now, I want to just mention from the outset that this chalitza cannot be done until 92 days after his death. Any woman that was married can never remarry within 92 days of the termination of a marriage. So if her husband died or she got divorced, he's not allowed to remarry her. She's not allowed to remarry unless she waits 92 days. That's called hafchana. Hafchana is the period of time that differentiates between the marriages, because in the event she's pregnant, we want to discern who the father is, okay? Because if she gets remarried right away and she becomes pregnant, we're not sure if it was the father that died or divorced her or the new husband. Was it the first husband or the second husband? That's a halacha. Anytime a woman's getting married for a second time, she has to wait 92 days after the termination of the first marriage. So too here. The chalitza will not be done until the hafchana, the shir of hafchana is done. Okay? So, let's start from the fact, what's the reasoning behind chalitza and yerika? We always, when we talk about tamei mitzvahs, we're just trying to be masbir the reason behind it, but we never can assume that hit the spot. In other words, we don't eat ham. You can't tell me the reason why we don't eat ham because it's not clean. I'll give you a clean chazer, right? And the ham should be kosher. Chas v'sholom. It's just to help our avodas Hashem. But anytime this tamei mitzvah is given, we never should presume that this hit the spot. We don't really know. It just is to help our avodas Hashem. So I want to present four reasons behind the mitzvah of chalitza. Number one is given by the Sefer Achinuch and Mitzvah Tav Kuf Tzadi Tes. Okay, on that Sefer and Dvarim, Pesuk and Dvarim, Perek Chafei, Pesuk Tes, and that is that Maisa Chalitza is a shimush that the Yavama serves the Yavim, kind of like an Evid. You want to show that she's Ra'ui to be acquired by him and to serve him, so she removes his shoe. After the Chalitza, she spits in front of him, because what does that show? That he doesn't want to marry her. So if he doesn't want to marry her, she spits in front of him out of disgust. To show that she really didn't want to what? To show that he didn't want to marry her, and therefore she's removing his shoe. She wants nothing else to do with the guy anymore. She's no longer chained down to him and meshubit to him, that she has to give him kavod. And therefore what? And therefore lamaisa, she's misnaeg lamaisa with him like any other person. You understand that? It's very interesting, says the Sefer Achinuch. Okay, so the removing of the shoe is to show her subservience to him, like a person removes someone's shoes. And the fact is that then she turns around and says, well, you don't want to marry me? She spits in his face, and that is symbolic of the bond is ended. And then she can walk away. You follow me? That's the two notions. Those are the two steps of the removal of the shoe and the spitting. Removal of the shoe is to show her subservience, and then she realizes he doesn't want to marry her, so it comes out that it's considered to be what? Comes out that it's considered to be she's upset with him, she spits at him, and that severs the bond. So if that severs the bond, no problem, Maisha. She's now what? Free. Halacha l'maisha. This is what the Sefer Achinuch writes. That's number one. Number two, Chalitza, Beis Yosef, and Simon Kuf Samach Hashem, the Bahag. I don't think I ever found this, but I looked it up. That Chalitza is like a mourner. What does a mourner do when he loses one of his seven relatives? He has to remove his shoes. So the Yavim does not want to miyabim her. What does that show? It's like a re-mourning now. Here the brother has the opportunity to keep alive his brother's name that died, and he selects not to. So it's like he has to re-mourn for him, and the young man has to have his shoe removed like an oval that's mourning on his brother, because his name is going to be forgotten forever. She spits in front of him to show that what? To show that she never wanted to marry her brother-in-law because she was attracted to him. She wanted to marry the brother-in-law in order to what? Keep alive the name of her dead husband's name. You follow me? And therefore she spits to show that she never wanted to marry the man because she was in love with him. She wanted to marry him to keep alive her first husband's name. And therefore she spits at him. So again, to summarize, according to the Beis Yosef and Bahag, which I did not find, Ma'on Chesronos, but the second reasoning is that the removal of the shoes to show that he is again mourning for his brother, because he had an opportunity, in a sense, to keep his name going. And she spits at him to show that she never really wanted to marry him for the reason that she had fallen in love with her brother-in-law, but rather because of she wanted to keep alive her husband's name. That's number two. Number three is a reasoning given, Lamaisa, by the Beis Yosef B'Shem, the Rimi Paris. Second one is Beis Yosef B'Shem, the Bahag. The Rimi Paris says that the concept of chalitza is that he's not maskin to makayim the mitzvah of yibum. That's a mitzvah shiba goof. Therefore, she does something to his body. She makes him into an oval. She like removes the shoe from him. He should have married this woman, and he selects not to. So we do something on his body that makes him into a mourner. And the spitting is to show that he could have used his shichva zera in his body to fulfill the mitzvah of yibum, and he did not. Okay? This is the third reasoning. So again, the third reasoning is because he didn't agree to the mitzvah of Yibum, and therefore she's choletzes now, in order that his what? In order that he didn't do his mitzvah shebegufa with his body, and therefore we remove the shoe, in order that it'll be with like an oval on his body, and the spitting is to show that he could use the shechva zera to keep alive his dead brother's name, and he did not. Okay, number four. The fourth reasoning of chalitza is in order to be machna to her. It's a kinyan, in order to be makna her to the Yerusha of the brother. Really, who should have been Yorush? The brother that died? The other brother. The brother who was supposed to do Yibum. The fact that he does Chalitza, he is Motzi Mimenu, she's Motzi from him, the Yerusha's Achiv Ameis, that all the Yorushim were supposed to get. Okay? So they were supposed to get everything, Lamaisa. This is said by the Sefer Chizkuni, in Perikov Hei, Pasuk Tes, and Sefer Dvarim. Okay, so it's like a kinyan chalipin, mamish. So it's a kinyan chalipin because the brother should have been Yairish if he would have married. However, Lamaisa, she's motzi mimenu Yerush. She takes away from Yerush's achiv, ameish yischalko bo kol ha-yorsh. Okay, they usually would equally divide it, but now Lamaisa, she's motzi from it Yerush's achiv because he could have gotten the whole thing. Okay, he could have gotten the whole thing himself if he would have married her. But now, no, he's like any other brother. You follow me? So she's motzi that opportunity that he had to be yorish everything. She takes that away from him, and now all the brothers have to equally divide. Why did she spit in front of him? In order to embarrass him that he didn't want to do yibum. So that's the chiddush l'maisa. It's interesting. The Yushalmi in Maseches Yevamos Samach Tes and Beis and Daf Yushalmi. His mistopic is chalitza genai because he doesn't want to do yibum, and b'malkam yibum chalitza is a zero, or is it a shvach that we learn of Jerushov Hashem Sham and Birkas Yaakov ibn Yosef that it's a shvach l'maisa to do chalitza? So that's an interesting shaila. But as again, we normally assume that yibum is the primary mitzvah, the backup mitzvah is chalitza, and we'll discuss whether chalitza is a mitzvah or matan. Let's mention it now. Is chalitza called a mitzvah or is it a matan? Let's say I have an 8-year-old man, an 8-year-old woman, and a guy dies without any kids, and he has a surviving brother. She's not interested in getting married. She can't have kids. And the other's not interested in getting married either. So can they just starve the mice and not do it? So as Elimelech said, if it's a mitzvah, then we tell them they should do it. If it's a mater, then they don't have to do it if they don't want. Okay? Starve, let's say an 8-year-old man, 8-year-old woman. The 8-year-old man dies. He has a surviving brother. They had no kids. So she's not interested in getting remarried. So why do chalitza? If it's a mitzvah, we still tell them to do it. If it's a matir, they don't want to do the matir here. Okay? So, no, the shaila that I'm presenting is whether chalitza is a mitzvah or a matir. It's a machloikis. We normally assume it's a mitzvah. Because the parak begins kufala on mitzvah chalitza. Calls it mitzvah chalitza. In kufala from it off, there's a whole parak devoted in the end of Yavamis about chalitza. And the Mishnah begins mitzvah chalitza. So apparently it is a mitzvah. Seems that way, yeah. And according to many, there are many dinim in Hilchos Chalitza that are l'chachila b'riyadim. And Rav Shechter Shlita always points out that Taisen needed on Tzamech Vavon Beis has any category that has l'chachila b'riyadim on it, we assume that it's a mitzvah. Because if it's a matter, it's either good or not good. You know what I'm saying? She goes to the mikveh. She's Torah, she didn't go to the mikveh, she's not Torah. There's no scale of points. By a mitzvah, there's a scale of points. How many points are you going to get in Shemayim from Hashem? Are you going to get 30 or are you going to get 15? If it's l'chachila, you did the mitzvah, you get 30 points. If it's b'diavad, you did the mitzvah, you get 15. So there are many, many dinim in chalitza that have dinim l'chachila and b'diavad regarding it. For example, standing. L'chachila, they should stand the man and man when he does the chalitza. And the woman also should stand. B'diavad, if they did it sitting, it's good. But you see there's a kind of l'chachila, that's l'chura raya that it's a mitzvah. You follow me? That's the Chiddush one. No doubt Yibum is a mitzvah. No, there's no doubt. The question is, what is Chalitza? So even if Chalitza is a mitzvah, we Poshup Shat Yisham is a Sofek. Is it a mitzvah? Is it a Gnai? Or is it L'Shvach? The Pashas is, even if it's a mitzvah, it's not on the same level of Yibum, like based on what we said. The ideal is to do Yibum. Nowadays, Bizman Azeh, we don't do Yibum. Temanim do Yibum. Yemenite Jews still do Yibum. And Lamaisa, but the Minigin Klai saw both of them Ashkenazim and Sephardim not to do Yibum, that we do Chalitza. But Vadia, at one point, thought Lamaisa we should switch it back, but then he said, Lamaisa, the pastor says we should only do Chalitza, Halacha Lamaisa, and not do Yibum. Okay? Interesting, Shiloh, the Shek the Shlita told us from the Ravs outside, the Rav had a Shiloh, the Chalitza must be done on the right leg of the man. The shoe has to be removed from the right leg. Now, ideally, it should be a right shoe. What happens if you did a left-footed boot on the right shoe? Then b'diavad, it's kosher. But if you take it off the left leg, it's possible. It's got to be, if it's a righty, it's on the right leg. We'll get to the lefty. Halacha l'maisa, a left-legged guy. But a right-legged guy, he has to be removed from his right leg. What happens if, God forbid, he had no right leg? What's the din? Total leg was amputated. The halacha is that as long as there's a stump below the knee, it's fine. But if this whole leg, God forbid, is removed, what do you do? So the Rav Zatzal didn't know, so he asked his Rebbe, Reb Chaim Heller Zatzal. Reb Chaim Heller said that they should get married and then get divorced. They should do Yibum and then get divorced. Because you can't do Chalitza in such a case.
They have to have Yibum?
Yes, they have to get married, do Yibum, and then they get divorced.
Yibum is fulfilled once they do Yibum.
That's correct. After they live together and the Mitzvah Yibum, they should get divorced. Because they couldn't do Chalitza, then she'd be stuck her whole life. Okay? It's a fascinating case, Melissa. And God forbid it should never come up. Now, what's the reason why we don't say a bracha on the mitzvah of chalitza? Why don't we say a bracha? Because yibum and chalitza, the mitzvah is really puruvu. These are just ways to get the puruvu. So that's one reason. Another reason is the Maharil actually says you do say a bracha. Rashba writes you don't say a bracha because it's really the ikar mitzvah is puruvu. The Maharil said the yavim does say a bracha. Shulchan Aruch in Seder Chalitza Siftan Zayin. If you look at the end of Shulchan Aruch in Ibn Ezer, Hilchos Chalitza is Kesim and Kuf Samach Tes. And right after that, it goes through what's called Seder Chalitza. In Seder Chalitza in Siftan Vav, it says that the Rav that's Mesadah the Chalitza says the Bracha Mitzvah Chukim Shal Avram Avinu. The Goyin says, like the Rav is Mesadah Kedushin says a Bracha. But the Pashtus is, as I said, is that we don't say a Bracha Halacha L'maisa. And Halacha L'maisa, as I said, I want you to get the sheepis down. The Emek Yehoshua says there's a chiyuv chalitza. There's a mitzvah chiyuvis and a kofan also. We actually kofa the guy. Beis Shmuel, we kofa a guy who doesn't want to do it. Beis Shmuel says, B'shem the Zohar, you should still do chalitza. Allah l'maisa. Because it's not manoach l'nsham samei sela b'chalitza. So, the Beis Shmuel writes, there is no chiyuv. There is no chiyuv to do chalitza. Only if they want. It might zamata. The Beis Shmuel on the side of the page in the Shulchan Aruch, Simen Kuf Samachesiv Kotin Tes. Also, the Chacham Svi and Simen Aleph, in the first Simen in his Chuvis, Chassam Sofer also even has a chelik pei simin pehe says mashma from the Rambam as well. The Chuvah is around simin samachal that it's a matter, it's not a mitzvah. But as I said, Lamaisa, the pashtus is the Emek Yoshua and simin chav gimel says it's a chiyuv, and the pashtus the Ramah also is that as well. A shvu is not chal the mavatal chalitza because you're nishpul mavatal mitzvah. Ramah is in kum samachal siv dalid. The Chuvah is a rivah shalach Lamaisa. So. It's a bit chiddish to say that the pashtus is that we hold that it's a mitzvah. Yes, go ahead.
Is kiddushin a mitzvah in itself?
Rambam writes it is a mitzvah. The Rosh says it's not. It's a hechitim, so you get the puruvu. Well said, Jonathan. Jonathan, right? Yes, yeah, so Rambam Rosh. Okay. Rambam holds kiddushin is a distinct mitzvah. The Rosh argues hechitim is a puruvu.
We still say kiddushin.
Yeah, so the Rosh says the birkas shevah for adult. It's not a birkas a mitzvah. It's praising Hashem for the status that it's created. Now there's a Gemara in Shas in the beginning of Kedushin, the second parak, and the Malva that like the Ram says mitzvah boyosu v'shlucho. Even though you can mekadosh a woman with kesef and shtar through a shliach, it's a mitzvah you should do it yourself. The Gemara calls it a mitzvah. There's a Gemara moikotin yirches bezek calls nesuin a mitzvah Kedushin not. So the Rosh will hang his hat on the Gemara moikotin that it's not a mitzvah. The Ram will hang his hat on Kedushin and Malva from the Malva. Okay, it's machlekes. Yes, Aiden.
You said that. People should stand for chalitza, but if they sat, it's good, but the pashtus.
Yes, l'chachilo, the man and woman should stand when the ceremony of chalitza is done, but even if they did not, it's kosher. But you see that there's a concept, l'chachilo, but even in the category of chalitza. That's an indicator that it's a mitzvah. Because it was just a matter, it's either good or it's not good. Whenever you see all l'chachilo, but even, that's an indicator that it's a mitzvah. Because Hashem says you get 30 points because you did the mitzvah l'chachilo. If you did it, but even, you get only 15 points. You follow what I mean? The fact that there are halachas, and there are many, that are l'chachilu b'dyavad is an indicator that it's a mitzvah, based on Tais and Nidus, Samach Vavam and Beis. Okay. Let's now get to the dinim in the Shulchan Aruch, halach l'maisa. Okay. Let us begin with the following. Let us begin with the following. There is a need to have a beis din, okay? You need to have a beis din for a chalitza. How many dayanim? So we paskin three, but we're also machmer to have five. The three sit like this, and the two sit over here. The ikar dayanim are the three that sit here, but there are two are sit here in a right angle, 90 degree angle. Why? To publicize the matter that there's a chalitza being done. Why must you publicize the matter that chalitza is being done? Rashi gives two reasons. Number one, to tell the Levim Yisraelim now she's mutter to get married. Because until that time she was stuck. It was not Eish Hashish, it's only Nisra Lav. It's not a Chiyav Karis or Chiyav Misa. But she wasn't allowed to get married. Now that the Chalitza is done, we want to mafarsim that. We want to publicize that the more Dayanim the better. Okay? The other reason is to tell the Kohanim that she's off limits. A Kohen cannot marry a Chalitza. It's a steering Rashi with its Nisra Drabonis, right? Steering Rashi from Rashi and Makis, Rashi and Ksubis. But those are the two reasons. So we have five dayanim to mefarshim it as to the best of our ability. And not only that, the dayanim the day before have to be kovei aduchte. What's kovei aduchte? They actually have to go to the classroom or the room in which they are going to do the chalitza. And they have to say, tomorrow we are going to do a chalitza in this room. That's also to publicize the matter, part of that concept of kovei aduchte. Okay, there's a notion of kovei aduchte. Kovei means establish duchte, a place. That's part of the pirsum process that needs to be done, halacha l'maisa. Now, what happens l'maisa if they did not do the kovei amakom? The Ramah writes it's kosher. Chalitza is still kosher. In Sif Dalit, he writes it's kosher, halacha l'maisa. Now, the din is that these two dayanim on the side, the right angle, they could even be amaratzim. They could be unlearned yidin. But even if they did three instead of five, it's kosher. Halacha l'maisa, and those two that are added should not be krovim, they should not be psulim, but b'dyavad, if they are krovim psulim, they're kosher. Okay, but obviously the three dayanim cannot be krovim to each one, to the yavim of the chalitza, or krovim to the other, then that cannot be pasul. What about a ger? Can a ger serve on the beis din of chalitza? What's the din? So the halacha is a ger is pasul. Even if his father was a ger, and his mother was Jewish born, okay, even if the father was a ger, but his mother was born Jewish, he's still considered to be a ger for this concept, and he's disqualified to be a dayan for chalitza.
Just in general, or just
Just here, Pashup. That's a big machloikis, Jonathan, but for our purposes, at least here, you need both the father and mother to be born Jewish to serve as a dying chalitza. Okay, halacha lamaisa, if b'di'evit did it, the Rama says it's kosher. Okay? What did you say? Yes, one of the main three. Well said. One of the main three. Absolutely. And they don't have to be learned in men, Ramosha says. I mean, the Mishnah says. They have to just know, you know, they have to know how to read the Hebrew. And we ideally try to get Talmidei Chachamim, obviously. But the Mikra Adin, they don't have to be great Talmidei Chachamim. If you did it in front of people that were unlearned, that didn't even know how to read Hebrew, is kosher. Let's say they transliterated it into English. That would also be ksherer. Might not be lechachila, but it's certainly kosher b'di'evit halacha lamaisa. Okay? It's interesting that I want to point out there are four levels of psakim you can make in chalitza, which are very important that we mentioned. You can have a chalitza that's ksheira, which is one, that has two forms, 1A and 1B. 1A that was ksheira lechachila, 1B is was ksheira lebediyadim. Okay? That's the top psak. The bottom psak is that the chalitza was totally zero. It was totally possible that it didn't register at all. It's a zero. Okay, it's like nothing happened. That's on the other polar. That's like three. Two is the following, called the chalitza psula. Chalitza psula means it registered somewhat that she will not be able to do yibum at all with the other brothers. Okay, what the halacha is that once chalitza is done, a chalitza psula done, she is disqualified from doing yibum. You follow me? You had to make a decision. Do you do yibum or chalitza? Once you make the decision to do chalitza, even though the chalitza was, if it's a chalitza that's considered to be rendered as psula, wasn't a zero. If it was a chalitza psula, it registers that she's now possible to do yibum with any of the brothers, including this guy as well. You know, you don't treat it as like nothing was done. She can no longer do yibum with any of the brothers at all. Halacha lamaisa. Okay? And you have to do the chalitza again. Okay? That's called chalitza psula. That's very critical. So there are four types of psakim that you can come up with in Hilchas Chalitza. You could say the Chalitza is Kshera, 1A being Kshera L'Chalchila, 1B being Kshera B'di'evit. On the other polar, number 3 is that the Chalitza you did was totally zero, so it didn't count at all. And obviously you're going to have to do Chalitza again, or you could even do Yibum. And the middle psak is that the Chalitza Psula, which means that wasn't Kosher, but it does disqualify her from doing Yibum with any of the brothers, but you'll still have to do the Chalitza again. Okay? Yes, yes, Aiden.
What's the difference again between chalitza that was zero and chalitza?
Because a chalitza that is zero, she's still able to do yibum with any of the brothers, okay? You only do yibum with one of the brothers. That's what I mean that it's a zero. It didn't register at all. It did not effectuate at all in a halachic realm. It's a total zero, okay? So this is very critical. You have to know these four possible psakim that you can have on any shayla of chalitza. Okay. It says in the Ramah, it's interesting, it's also to take a salary from chalitza. Because we said anyone takes a salary to be a dayan, the dina is betalim. What that means is you want to take money, you take money for the schar batala. Okay? And as you take the schar for a schar batala, you wouldn't be working at all. Okay? So that's the heter for doing that, halacha lamaisa. Okay? Let's continue upon the dinim that we have. Halacha lamaisa. There is a very important din. 2 days in the Shonach on your Koveya Duchta must be Koveya the day before, or they have to be Koveya on that day. We're not going to do it the day before, but lamaisa is 2 days in the Shonach. Now, chalitza can only be done biyom. Okay? You can only do chalitza in the daytime. What have to do chalitza balayla? It's a chalitza psula. What does a chalitza psula mean, Adam?
Where you're no longer permitted to do yibum.
Excellent. Correct. I'll have to do the chalitza again, but the chalitza is psula. What about on Shabbos and Yontif? Can you do a chalitza? You cannot do a chalitza on Shabbos and Yontif either. On Chol HaMoed, it's good. There is a Ramah that says you're not allowed to do chalitza in Erev Yontif, in Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, chen nogin. So the minig is also not to do it on Friday. Halacha lamaisa. Okay? Now, how do we, in order to do a chalitza, you have to recognize that this is the brother of the guy that died. How do you know it is? So, lamaisa, this is very important. As long as there's an eid echad that testifies that this guy is his brother of the deceased, or even if he's a karov, or a woman, or an eved, or a shivcha, or a katan, we allow him, we believe him. Okay? So this is called to give him identity, to prove that this is a real Yabin, wants in Chalitza, even at Ere Echad, and even there are all these Heterim that we believe, Allah Chalamaisi, Gomorrah says in Yvamas on Lamatesim at base. Okay. Now, we must know that the Yavim is 13 years in one day, okay? And the Yavama must be 12 years in one day, and that she and that they have Shtei Saris, Halacha L'maisa, and Halacha L'maisa, we would have to what? We have to determine that. If a woman's mature already, there's no reason to check after the Saris, and if a Yavim has a beard at 13, if already has whiskers, he doesn't. We don't have to check his Saris either, Halacha L'maisa. Now, it's interesting, regarding the years, though, we don't rely on the Krovim. We don't rely on women. It has to be Adim Ksherim. So I want you to get that distinction. Regarding the identity that he's the brother of the deceased, then we have these Kula Venedachan and Krovim Psulim. But regarding the age, you need the Shnei Adim that are Ksherim. What happens if it's known in the neighborhood? Halacha L'maisa. Let's say it's known in the neighborhood, or it's a call that's gone out, also L'maisa. Yeshorm says that that's fine, halacha l'maisa, and we assume that that's good. Even without, and if they checked the shtei saris, there was a chazaka that went out. They checked saris. Even without the chazaka of the neighbors, we assume halacha l'maisa that that would be good as well regarding this case. What happens if the yavama has kids? What happens if the yavama has kids? Obviously, that's banim is kesimanim. She had kids from another guy. She had kids from the guy himself, as Alimelech pointed out, obviously there's no din yibum. She had kids from another guy, that's automatic simanim that she's old enough. Okay. Now, how do we do the structure of the ceremony? So the dayanim must sit, okay? Just like regular dayanim sit. And the yavim and the yavama stand. Mitzvah l'chachila to do it standing. Bidi yavid, though, if they did it sitting, the Ramah says it's kosher. What happens if you have someone who's sick, God forbid, and he cannot stand on his feet? You could do chalitza sitting, because anything that has no remedy, okay, now before the chalitza is actually done, we must he has to be mevatel all modos that he gave, like by a get. What does that mean? What's a modor? A modor is an announcement that the only reason why a husband would be giving a get is he's doing it under duress. You follow me? Jonathan, a guy can't divorce his wife under duress. He's being forced to divorce his wife is not a good get, generally. So he has to, before the get is given, we make him mevatel all modos. What's modos? Any announcement that he had made, maybe, that said that he's doing it under duress. So at the get, we make him nullify all modos that he might have said. Any announcements that he claimed that he was did it under duress, we tell him he nullifies that now to ensure that the get's being given willingly. Same halacha applies to chalitza. He must be mevatel all modos, halacha l'maisa, to ensure the fact that he's doing the chalitza, he's stating that he's doing it willingly, not under duress. We don't want any announcements afterwards that say, oh, he did it under duress. So in order to ensure that, we're mevatel all the things. We do the same thing by get, do the same thing by chalitza. Because the halach is, if he did give an announcement, and the chalitza is done afterwards, the chalitza is psul. It is not ksherer. Not that it's a zero, but it's a chalitza psul. Okay. Fine. Now, the chalitza shoe must be owned. Must be owned by the man, the yavam. You have to give it to him a matan. If the beis din owns it, they should give it to him as a gift. Okay, and there's a Yeshorman that says also in the Mechaber Sif Yudal that he should walk around a little bit with it to show that it's his. Now, if they didn't give it to him, it's still kosher. If he doesn't own it, it's still kosher. But Lamaisa, there is an Indian that he should demonstrate the tour quotes Shem Yeshorman. He should walk around showing that it's his. Now, what material is the shoe made of? It says in the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Ted Vav that it must be made of leather. Okay, not only that, all the stitching should be made of leather too. L'chachila at least. And that's the minig. That shoe that I showed you, it's all leather, even the stitchings. The Ramah writes that if it's not, it's pasul b'dyeved, which is a big chiddush. Okay? Because we usually find shoes that are stitched with flax or linen. So he says, that's not like the Yeshom de Zmanazel. All the shoes are usually stitched with flax, and they should be tougher than piston. So Lamaisa seems to be that we will not possibly have it. But as long as the shoe's leather and the stitchings are flat or linen, it's fine. But Lamaisa, well, I'll tell you what does not have to be leather, even the strappings. The strappings, the laces, do not have to be leather themselves. The Ramado says that they should be made of leather, and that's the minig. Allah Lamaisa. That everything is really made leather except for the stitchings. Okay, now, is it soft leather or hard leather? So the Mechaber possibly the shoe should be made l'chachil of hard leather, that it should be like a sandal. Like a sandal. Not a sandal that we have sandals. A sandal that's mentioned in the Mishnah. One opinion, one Yesh Omrim says that the stitches could be from the outside, and the other Yesh Omrim says that the tefira could be from the inside. But whatever the case might be, it's important that we note that the Ramah says the minig is to do chalitza l'chachila with the stitchings being on the outside of the shoe. And it also should be from two pieces. That the, you know, the bottom one is called the sole, is another, it's not all one leather piece. The bottom piece is made of one piece, and the ritzuas are another piece that are you're sewing with, and you should be careful, Lamaisa, that it should not be anointed with oil to make it soft. Okay? So that's what the Ramah writes, Halacha Lamaisa. And as I said, you should use the tefiras mibachutz, and it should be from shnei chatichas. Okay. And also, there shouldn't be any felt inside. There shouldn't be a beggar or mibifnim, bitaf rubo. We say that the tefiras should be mibachutz. Some say the tefiras mibifnim, but as I said, Lamaisa, there's a yeshom that should make it from all one chaticha. But Lamaisa, we follow the Ramah, there are two different pieces, Halacha Lamaisa. Very fascinating shaila comes up. Machlekes the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos. Must the chalitza shoe be from a kosher animal? Leather from a kosher animal. Isn't that a fascinating shaila? This appears in the Tosfos in Mitzvah Chalitza. I believe it's on Daf Kuf Gimel on the base. Okay? Yeah. Kuf Gimel on the base. The shaila is, no, I apologize. Kuf beis in the beis. It says in the Gemara Anchol Tachas, which is a pasuk in Yecheskel, that a sandal that's with pishtun is ein cholzen bo. Halacha lamaisa. That's what we said. But as I said, nowadays are all made from that, so it's considered to be good. Okay. But it says Anchol Nachas in a pasuk in Yecheskel. So since it says a pasuk in Yecheskel per tetzayin pasuk yud, Rabbi Natan says it better free from or behemot Torah, because the tachash was an animal in the midbar that they used it. We don't have it nowadays, the tachash, but it had beautiful, you know, striped colors, and they used it from his hides for the mishkan. So the tachash was kosher. Gemara says in Shabbos and Chav Tesim and Beis. So Tosfos writes, Mikan Rabbi Natan says it better. You better believe that the shoe better be a kosher animal. And then Tosfos argues, he says, no such akpada. There's no such akpada. If it's made from a behemoth tmeya, rhinoceros, it's still kosher, the leather. Okay? So how do we paskin? So the Mechaber says in Sifyat Zayin that he quotes the Rabbeinu Tam, the charchila should be made from kosher animal, and the ritzuos, and the crossim also, and the tfiris, all the minigas should all be from kosher. But it's mashma that b'diavad is made from a non-kosher animal, it's kosher. What's the nekudas amachlaikis? What's the nekudas amachlaikis in the Rabbeinu Tam and Tosfos? So maybe we could suggest as follows. That the nekudas amachlaikis is exactly this. Is maybe one way of saying it is chalitza mitzvah amat. If it's a mitzvah, then make it from what? Make it from kosher animal. If it's a mata, we don't care. That's one approach. Another approach is to say that there's a machlekes of most. There's a din in Shabbos Chav Tesfos called Moser B'Pichin. You know what stam is? What's stam an acronym for? Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah. The Gemara says Medinin the Gemara has to be from a kosher animal, and that's called Tashmishei Kedusha. What's the definition of Tashmishei Kedusha? The Rav Zatzal said it has Shem Hashem written on it. Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah has Shem Hashem written on it. If they no longer are kosher of use, you have to put them in the ground. You have to bear to the ground and require genizah. What's tashmishei mitzvah? Like a lulav, like sitzis, where it doesn't have Shem Hashem written on it. Matzah. In those cases, if it's no longer usable, you don't have to bury it in the ground. We can throw it in the garbage. But we don't do that, we bury it anyway. You understand the difference? So maybe one could suggest that's the machlaikis. How do we view the din? This halach of moser b'picha. Is the din of moser b'picha that you need a kosher animal, is that only limited to sefer Torah, tefillin, and mezuzah, or does it apply to also tashmish mitzvah? You follow me? Like the Ran has a suffix in Rosh Hashanah, a shofar from a rhinoceros. Is that kosher? Ron says, I'm not sure. So Mr. Bruce says, the only shofar you have, you should blow it without a bracha. But that's the suffix in the Ran. Is this halacha moser b'picha limited to tashmish kedusha, or does it apply to tashmish mitzvah? That's the same shaila here. Halacha l'maisa. Taught Rabbi Natan insists that it applies to tashmish mitzvah. It better be chalitza shoe, better be kosher. The Taisa says no. It's only a din limited to what? It's only a din limited to tashmish kedusha. That's one way of saying. The other way of saying is that is it a mitzvah ramata? According to Rabbi Natan, it's a mitzvah. So memela, of course, most of the pika applies even to tashmish mitzvah. The Taisa says not a mitzvah. It's a matter. I would agree with you. It's a mitzvah that applies. You understand the two ways to say it. Is the machlokes most of the people limited to tashmish mitzvah applies to tashmish mitzvah? That's one approach. The other approach is for sure it applies to tashmish mitzvah as well. Question is chalitza mitzvah ramak? So two ways to be mazeh. The chalchila we say should be made from kosher. Okay. Now lamaisa we paskin that it should be made like a kamin. It should be tied up like a kesher. Halacha lamaisa. In fact, Taisus gives you the recipe of the way you're supposed to do it. The actual removal of the shoe, the recipe Taisus gives is on Taf Kuf Beis Amar Aleph on the bottom of the Omid. He points out from the Yushalmi, very interesting, the Yushalmi writes that Halacha L'maaseh, you should make a bow, an aniva, in order that it should be easily be able to remove with one hand. Okay? However, Taisus says you should argue. Taisus argues on this, and he says the minig is to be tied up really well to kesher gomer, and aniva, a bow, is not enough. And when she releases it, she should use her right hand. Even though we find it's not possible with the left hand, only with the left foot is a problem. Remember we said that? But when she matters it, she could even use her left hand. Probably her right hand. But lamaisa, she could use her left hand, lamaisa, to take off the shoe. What happens in a fascinating halacha, God forbid? Let's say she has no arms. What should she do? She can bite off the shoe. Gemara says b'feir, it says in Shulchan Aruch, she can bite it off with her teeth, and it's still kosher. Okay, so doing it with her right hand is not ma'akid. Maybe it's l'chachilu, because it's a mitzvah. Any mitzvah you do with the right hand. But it's a machlokes whether you do a bow or a knot. Our minhag is to do a knot, halacha l'maaseh. Okay. The Mechaber quotes as a Yeshom, there should not be a tongue. Many shoes, you know, have a tongue on it. There should be no tongue. In order that, because if it has a tongue, then we're afraid that it's maybe me'al to me'al. You have to take the shoe off the foot. But if you're taking the shoe off something else, then maybe that's a problem, me'al to me'al, which is a problem, halacha l'maaseh. Okay. Now, the shoe that we put on, as we said, should be a right on the right leg, should fit. It should fit, and it should be not too big that he couldn't be able to walk with it, and it shouldn't be too small that it won't cover over his foot, and it can't be ripped either that he can't walk on it. So the shoe, we have rules and regulations, again, not too big that he can't walk, not too small that it doesn't cover over regal, and it can't be ripped that he can't be able to walk with it. Halach l'maaseh. Okay. Now we said that leather is good. What about if you use a wooden shoe? Or use a shoe made of reeds. What do you say about that? So we assume halach l'maaseh that if you did a chalitza with such a shoe, or you did on the left one, or you did on one that was too big, or you did on one that doesn't cover over his foot or was ripped, the din is without a doubt it's psula. I want you to get that. Again, chalitza psula means not that it's a zero, it's a chalitza psula. What happens if it was wooden but covered with leather? So the Rama writes, halacha l'maaseh, that's ksheira. Or if you have inside the shoe it was linen, it was stitched with linen, halacha l'maaseh. Or let's say you put a left-footed shoe on the right foot, that's also ksheira b'di'evit. Okay? We mentioned that, but that's the din halacha l'maaseh. Okay. Now it's interesting, fascinating halacha comes up regarding this din. What happens if You use a shoe that was idolized. What's the din in such a case? What do you mean it was idolized? It wasn't really idolized. I take that back. Let's say you have an idol that wore shoes. They used to put shoes, those little shoes on the idol. Can you use that shoe or not? Allah alam aysa. So you're not allowed to. L'chachilu b'di'evet is k'sheru. Okay? But if it's tikrovus of avodah zarah, or if it's made from irani dachas, or the shoe was made for tachriche mei shrouds for a dead person, the chalitz in that case is psu'ah. Okay? Because we have Allah called mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu. Mitzvahs you don't get hana from, you only accept the yoke of Hashem. So therefore, if you have a little shoe, slipper that was put on the idol, then you're not allowed to use it l'chachilu because it's ma'us, it's disgusting. But b'di'evet, if you did it, it's k'sheru. Because we assume the mitzvah is mitzvah lav lehenes nitnu, you're doing it for the mitzvah, it's not called hanoah. But if tikrovis of avodah zarah was something that you actually offered the shoe to the idol, it was used as actually a korban kind of, or irani dachas, which has to be totally burnt, the halachas in this case is that it's pasul, or it's tachrich emes, the chalitza becomes pasul, we know what pasul means. Disallows from doing yibum, but you have to do another chalitza again. Okay, what do you do with an ambidextrous? I don't know. Let's say you got a kicker. You know, in football, the guy's ambidextrous, a right and a left-footed kicker. I don't know if any kicker has ever been like that. But let's say, what's the din in that case? What's the halacha also if she's ambidextrous? What do you do? You do it with your right hand. Always. You do the chalitza, take it off his right foot, and she uses her right hand. What happens if she's a lefty? What do you do? She should use her right hand because why? I'm sorry. If she's a lefty, what should she do? She should use her right hand because that's the shoe small kolodo. Again, nachama. If she's a lefty, what does she do? Vimi yateres yad tasebi min dida, the Rama writes. She should use her right hand. What's her right hand? Right? If she's a lefty normally, she should use her right hand. What's her right hand? Her right hand, Lamaisa, she should use b'min dida, which is the small of kol adam. Right. So what does that mean? What does that mean, halach lamaisa? She's a lefty, she should do it b'min dida. What's b'min dida? Meaning her left hand. Because her left hand is like a right hand, because she's a lefty. So according to the Ramah, she should use a left hand. Okay? Halacha lo
maisa. What if he's left-footed?
Oh, that's what we get to right now, Jonathan. The four shittas. Rashbin Chulin discusses this at great length. The Farish of Rashba, believe it or not. Rashba Zuchulin, Sadi Beis, and Beis Damask Islay. The 4 days. The first day of the Yesharim is just like tefillin. What do you do if you're a lefty? You put your tefillin on your what? You put your tefillin on Yesh Ba'anicha B'yad Smolus. Even though by tefillin, in Ittayad puts it on B'yad Yamino. Right, I'm a lefty, I put it on this. Right? That's Yad Slozo Yad Smolus. Right? So we say the Garbi the din of what? The halach is, K'shem Shem Matzan al tefillin, that we put it on the left B'yad Smolus. Right? Even though it says in Menachos Ittiyaz Benichu B'Yad Yamino, that means what? What does Yad Yamino mean? It means the right of what? The right of Lamais, his right. Shetzlo Zo Yad Smolis. So every person's subjective. So the same thing by Yibum. Which one should you use? If he's a lefty, you should do it on the left foot. Because the lefty for him is the right. You follow me? The same thing by the Tvilin Lamais. Okay, I put my tefillin on the right hand. I also put on tefillin on my left hand because I'm stronger with my right hand, but I write with my left hand. So the question is depending on strength or depending on what writing. We discussed that last year. The Ramah writes, Jonathan, that you go always by the writing. So since I write with my left hand, right, I'm considered to be a lefty, so I put my tefillin on my right hand. I said that's the Me'ikr tefillin. According to the Gaon, though, I throw my football and I throw my basketball and I do my hammering or I lift up stuff, my right arm is stronger. So therefore, I should be a righty. So I have another pair of tefillin after davening, I put on my left hand, I say Shema on that. If I don't say a bracha on it. So Machlokes is the Ramah and the Gaon, and many posts say Mikardini go like the Ramah.
No,
others say you say like the Gaon. If you have to go to the bathroom, correct, and you're in a place in davening, you can say the bracha, you have to put it on again. You have to say a bracha, correct. Because the only reason I'm putting on the second pair of tefillin out, it's a suffix, so you know. I don't want to risk a bracha of a tall. You follow me? So that's the chiddush. So that's the first sheet. And once let's finish the sheet, the second sheet is it's different than tefillin. There's a special halacha lamaisa, other places lamaisa, and this is the din, is that you go bust a rope in the other. So I don't care where the guy's left footed. You take it off on his right foot. Tefillin's a special din. The third sheet that says you can't do chalitz at all. Imagine that. A left-footed guy, she's stuck for good unless they do yibum to get divorced. And then the fourth sheet is that halacha lamaisa in dibin yafu uzesh. Since a kohen iter, a left-handed kohen is posel, it's a ba'amum, not because he doesn't have a right, because came to the da is considered yamin, and there is yumata chalitza mimena, even though that's it's considered to be what? Okay, the fourth sheet is it's not a good comparison. There's a coin that's a lefty, it's possible for avoda, it's considered a balmum, not because he doesn't have a right hand. So, since the right hand, according to their opinion, is cheshuv yamin, you should do chalitzu with the right foot, even though by him it's left. Okay, that's the fourth sheet is also the right hand, right foot. What do we do, Allah lamaisa? Says in the Shulchan Aruch, a left-footed guy, Yesh Omrim says you should do it on both. And then there's a Yesh Mishtapik that says you have no takana, you're finished. The Roma says we go like the first sheet. So it's interesting, you do chalitz on both. Both the left and the right, to make sure it's done.
Do it twice?
Yeah, do it twice. Probably, which one you do the bracha? Yeah, the bracha in mind, you do it on both.
There is no bracha.
Yeah, there is no bracha, well said. So there's nothing to worry about. But you do it on both. Halacha lamaisa. I would think you do the whole ceremony. You do the whole ceremony twice. I would think. Unless you do the chalitza just twice, maybe that's all you have to do. Plus your pshat is maybe you do the chalitza only twice. Okay, yes, Aiden, go ahead.
You said that if one's a lefty and one's right with the left hand, then with that, you said...
Well, it's a machlokes the Ramah and the Vilna Gaon by tefillin. Take myself. I write...
I chalitza.
No, so the question is... Do you compare chalitza to tefillin? That's the shaila. Do you compare chalitza to tefillin? That's the shaila. The first Yesh Omrim does. The second Yesh Omrim does not.
And the Gra says...
So the Ramah and the Gaon was just on my place within tefillin.
Right.
Take a guy that's writes with the left hand and strong with his right hand. So how do you determine which is the Kaveh? So the Ramah says you go with the righty, so I'm a lefty.
So either way, if I was lefty or righty, one would do chalitza with this. Right.
According to which sheet? The four sheets.
The first one
is halacha lamaisa. You would do correct. You would do it on your left foot because that's considered to be your right foot because you're a lefty.
This as a lefty would be considered my.
Yes, right. You put your tefillin on your right arm if you're a lefty.
And,
correct.
And therefore, according to the first one, I would do chalitza with this.
No, that's what I'm saying. Tefillin is. You determine which is left or if you're a lefty, then you put it on your right arm. If you're right, you put it on the left arm. Tefillin is, but what I'm saying is that it's similar to tefillin regarding the subjectivity. That's what I'm saying. You compare chalitza to tefillin regarding the subjectivity. It happens to be that tefillin is that if you're a lefty, you put it on your right arm. By chalitza, if you're a lefty, you do it with your left shoe. Because for you, it's the right. Okay? Clear?
In other words, so either way with chalitza,
we possibly should do chalitza on both shoes, both feet, halacha lamaisa. Correct.
I'm saying according to the first one, so either way, chalitza would be done
according to the first sheet, if you're a left-footed person, you do the chalitza off your left-footed shoe.
Defined by this.
Correct. Exactly. Whereas by tefillin, if you're determined to be a lefty, you'll put your tefillin on your right arm. That's a special look about the tefillin because it says in the pasuk, "Ksharatim lo sayidecha." Okay. We got that, Klor? All right, very good. Yeah, Jonathan, go ahead.
Which hand is the left-handed person more the Kiddush
Kapin? That's a good question in general. Let's say by Lulav, it's a machlekes b'chol lefty. What should a lefty do? So I have a whole sefer at home about that. But there's a machlekes b'chol Roma by Lulav, the Arba Minim. If you're a lefty, it's a machlekes b'chol Roma, do you hold the Lulav and the three Minim in your left hand or your left or the right? It's a machlekes. Generally, what we do, machlekes b'chol in the Roma, I think the Machaber says you do it in your right hand, the Ramah says you do it in your left. I think they say the Stipler did like the Machaber, he did it in his right.
And that's the same just for the Lulav?
Usually for Kiddush, everything else is the same. It's the same as Lulav. Same Machlaik as the Machaber Ramah.
Any book in general. Basically.
Yeah, yeah. So Luchura, according to the Ramah, if you're a lefty, you should hold it with your left hand. But I was thinking if you're ambidextrous and you have that shal you write with lefty like me, and your right arm is stronger, then I would think you should do it in your right, because ksiv only makes a difference by tefillin, because it's a ksharten, you know, ksavten, you know. By any other area, by holding the Kiddush cup and by the lulav, writing doesn't make a difference. So in my situation, I think you definitely should do the right. Even though I write lefty, I think you should hold the lulav in the right hand. Because why should other areas shouldn't depend on where you're, what you write with? It should depend on strength.
And someone has a straight left or a muscle left.
Exactly, correct. That's correct. Okay, so I hold the Kiddush cup in my right hand because my right hand's stronger. I do the lulav also with that as well. Correct. Okay. It's interesting. Halacha l'maisa, we bring up this point that comes up. And that is that what about a blind person? What do you say about a blind person? What's the story about a blind person? Halacha l'maisa, very, very important din, because it speaks to the different elements in the ingredients that are made up to do a chalitza. Okay? Let's mention that now. What's the story about a blind person? So we paskin in the Gemara that chalitza, if the man is blind, the chalitza is ksheira. Okay, Rashba and the Ritva say the Suma can do it even l'chachila, and the Brisa that said v'dievin wasn't referring to that; it was referring to the other dinim mentioned in the Brisa. Okay, the Rambam though has a stunning chiddush. The Rambam says that the man is a blind man; he cannot do chalitza, media raisa, and he learns that out from the pasuk v'yarku b'fonav. What does v'yarku b'fonav mean? She spits in front of him; he's got to be able to see the spit. The Magen Mishnah says. B'dievid though it's ksheira, because why? We said in the beginning of this year that the only step that's makiv is rakikis, spitting. Right? I'm sorry, the only thing that's makiv is removing the shoe. Spitting is not makiv. So how can you tell me that if you can't see the spit, right, that it's makiv? The whole thing is not makiv. Right? That's the chiddush. The Mishnah Melech is bothered by Akasha. Mishnah Melech says, what are you talking about? We say that Eureka, spitting, Rakika, is very important, and it's more important than the Kriya, the reading of the Psukim. What's the halacha if you just read Psukim, you don't do anything? It's very important. Let's say you only read Psukim, you don't do the Chalitza or the Rakika. It's a zero. Everyone agrees that's a nothing. She's Muteris to the Yibim. What happens if she does spitting, though, and you don't read the Psukim, you don't do Chalitza reading the Psukim? What is spitting? Spitting does accomplish a what? Chalitza psuva. So Lamaisa comes out that in a case where the man or the women are mute, the Rambam writes the Chalitza psuva because they have to be Ru'uya L'kriya. What's the famous din of Ru'uya L'kriya? Reb Zeir has a din, a koloroi l'bilein bilema kevispa. Reb Zeir has a din in Menachas on Kuf Gimel Amud Aleph that there is a halacha that you have to have the ability for a korban mincha to be mixed with oil and flour. You need the ratio of 60-1 with oil and flour. What happens if it's 61-1? It's possible. It's a Mishnah Menachas Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis. What happens if I had a 60-1 but I didn't mix it up? It's ksheira because it was ra'ui to be mixed up. Bila means mixed up. Below ra'ui la bila ain bila ma kevesbo. As long as it's ra'ui to be mixed up, even if I don't do it, it's fitting. It's good. You follow me? So the din is that a man that's a mute or a woman that's a mute, and they can't read psukim, even though the kri itself is not ma'akev, but you need the ability to read the psukim. So that's ma'akev. So shouldn't chalitza from a blind person should be possible as well? Shouldn't chalitza from a blind person be possible as well?
I don't know that he has to see this.
What'd you say?
What's the source that he has to see this?
Because it said, v'yarku b'fonav. The Rambam said, a chalit, a suma cannot do chalitza min ha-tayra. Yeah, b'lechachiva, it's a problem min ha-tayra, and the Magen Mishnah says that b'di'evit, if the suma does it, it's k'sherer, because the rekika is not makif, right? Because even in the rekika, it's k'sherer b'di'evit. Mishnah Masa says that's ridiculous. You have to have the ability, kriya is not makif itself, but you have to have the ability to do it. So the same thing here, l'maisa. Same thing here, l'maisa. Even though rekika is not makif, but what? You should have the ability to see it. So let's give a few answers to answer that kasha. You got the kasha? Again, the Rashba and the Ritva hold that a suma l'chachiva, man can do chalitza. L'chachiva. The Brisa says, b'di'evit is going on other dinim, not this dinim. The Rambam says, I disagree with you. The Rambam holds l'chachiva, a suma should not do chalitza. It is kasher b'di'evit. But what's the lumdus? Because as Yarkov, he should see the spit. Can't see this fit, maybe it's a makiv l'chachilah. So Magen Mishnah says the reason being is since Rekiki itself is not makiv, you don't do it. So obviously it's got to be k'sherer b'di'evit. Mishnah says that's ridiculous. Based on the principle of kol aroi l'bilein bilei makevis bo, we say that an ilam and ilamis, a woman that, a man that can't speak, a woman that can't speak, the chalitza is psul. Kri is not makiv, but you have to have the ability to do it. Say the same thing here. You have to have the ability to see the spit, l'maisa. So the Arsameach answers, very fascinating answer. I want you to get this. Since the Seder of Chalitza is such that when do you spit after the shoe is removed. Only the steps before the removal of the shoe, which is the Iker point, are Ma'akev. Not are Ma'akev, but need to be Ra'ui to be able to be done. And if they're not Ra'ui to be done, then it's Ma'akev. What step is before? What did we say the three steps were? First the Psukim, then the removal of the shoe, and then the spitting. Since the spitting comes afterwards, we don't invoke the principle of koloroi labim. Okay? Only the steps before the main point, the kriya, needs to be roi labim, and if they were mute, they God forbid, it's psula. That's the Orsamach's answer. Yes, go ahead, Jonathan. In Sefer Dvarim, says it beferish, perachafei posites, gives this exact case.
And does she spit in the shoe, or she just
spits in front of him? Not in his face, she spits in front that he can see the spit. Okay? Interesting. So Lamais, that's one answer. What's the second answer given? The Beis Shmuel says, we never say kol aroi labila on a dinder abonim. The fact that you have to see the spit is only a dinder abonim. Chol tzu b'fonim is a smacht, and therefore you don't say the din of kol aroi labila. Then there's a third answer we want to say from the Aruch Lanir. This goes back to what we said in the beginning of Shir. One of the reasons is we want to shame him. It's enough shaming him. He has to see the spit. You follow me? He doesn't have to see the spit. We're shaming him enough, the Aruch Lanir says. That's the chiddush we want to suggest. Or Samir. I think the Aruch Lanir says this. So that's three answers, l'maisa, to that kasha. Okay. Let's continue, l'maisa. Let's continue on this pshat. Okay. Now, the halacha is, the Mechaber writes the Sifchav Tes that we teach her and the Yavim to read the Psukim, to be able to be regiling with it. That they can say with one breath, Lo Ava, B'Nishim Achas. Some say that he has to be able to say, Lo Chafatzti, B'Nishim Achas, too, with one breath. And then the Dayanim, the Dayanim Vikru Osa, the Yimu Umar B'Loshna HaKadosh, and they call, Vikru Osa, they read the Psukim. And she stands there. They read the psukim to her, and she stands there, b'loshon hakodesh, and says, "This guy doesn't want to keep alive my dead husband's name." Me'ein yivami lakim lachiv shem b'yisrael lo ava yivmi. The yikru also, and then you follow me. So they read the psukim to her, and then she says that. Okay. Then they read the psukim to him, and he stands there, lo kafatz l'kafka. Okay. So we prep her by reading the psukim, and she says the psukim, b'loshon hakodesh. We prep him, and he stands, and he reads the psukim. The Ramah writes that The Rama writes that you have to be medakdek mima, that you should say lo yava yivmi mishimachas, and meaning is also l'chlatz l'kachta. Okay. Now, do you have to fully stand or you can lean on something? The Chaber writes you can stand by the wall or by the pillar, and you could stick your feet in the ground. You must stick your feet on the ground, press it on the ground, and she releases the knots and then the buckles, all with her right hand, and she grabs the right foot off the shoe, she slips it off, and then their machlitz, they do chalitza, remove the whole shoe, also with her right hand, and this is without any help from her left hand. But she shouldn't be sitting, not on her knees, she should be standing, just bending over. And then there, the Mechaber quotes the famous din, I don't know how famous it is, but the Mechaber quotes a din from the Rambam that she throws the shoe on the ground. Isn't that interesting? Everyone asks, where did the Rambam get this from, that she throws the shoe on the ground? Where's that from? The Rambam says you have to throw it on the ground. Where did that come from? So the Gaon says that he suggests in Sifkot and Pei Beis that it's a mocker, it's a Zohar. I looked it up in Parshas Kukas. You actually throw it on the ground. Okay? Guess it's part of her being upset, Lamaisa. Okay? See, that's what we do. That's what we do, Lamaisa. We throw it on the ground, Lamaisa, in order to fulfill that din. What happens if she did it with her left hand or with her teeth? It's Ksher B'Dieved. And as I said, an amputee, as the Mechaber said, Lataisa, she does it with her teeth. What happens if he didn't press his foot on the ground? Interesting. Let's say he didn't press his foot on the ground when the chalitz was done. It's psula, halacha lemaisa. We want her to do everything. If he matters the knot and she slips off the shoe, or let's say she slips off the shoe and she matters the knot, he slips off the shoe, it's psula. We need her to do everything. And the Rama says that tafkes, you can only go without a knot. But if you can go without a knot and she removes it, the chalitz is ksheru. Because the knot is nothing. Even though he matted the kesher, we don't care. The only problem is when he's matted the kesher is when you need the kesher. Okay, what happens, God forbid, if someone's foot is crooked? It's akuma, backwards, God forbid, or it's flipped over, or he actually has to walk on his tippy toes, then they can't do chalitza. God forbid, it seems like the Feirish Adin, you can't do chalitza in such a case. Ain't no chalitz. Okay. Now, as I said, it has to be from below the knee and the stump down. If it's above that, it's psula. It's a psula, not a zero. Some say it's going on the ksheira. Some say, that's pshat and taisis. The taisis has like that. Halach lamaisu. Taisis has like that, that it's going on the Turbishim, the Riv, the Rambam, the Baal Hittern. Some say it's going on the what? The Yeshom is going, the ksheira is going on if the kesher is lamala me'arkov, it's psula. But if there's an amputee, even from the, if there is a sheet that it says a stump below the knee is not good, halach lamaisa. So the shoe shouldn't be too long that it goes up above the shoe. You want the shoe below to fulfill both sheets. And then there's another sheet that the Mechaber quotes that if there is an amputee, as long as there's a stump, as I said, it's fine, halach lamaisa. That's normally what we assume, halach lamaisa, I believe so. As long as there's a stump below the knee, that would be good. Okay. We never want to wear two shoes. You got to do one shoe and that's it. Because if you do the top one, even though the bottom one, let's say you take off two shoes, you take off the top one, you rip the bottom one until the feet's revealed, doesn't make it a chalitz is psula. Okay, what happens if you do both? You take off both the shayr, halach lamaisa. Okay. Now when she stands there, she stands corresponding to the yabim, and she spits in the ground, connected to the yabim, where it can be seen, that it comes out of in her mouth, and it should be seen, and if the dayanim don't see it, it's still ksheira. Okay? What happens if she spits, though, and the wind takes hold of it? Before it gets to his face, you got to spit again. Let's say, though, the spit got to his face, and then what? It didn't get to the ground, but the wind took hold of it? It's ksheira. Halacha lemaaseh. So when it crosses in front of him, it has to be from her own koach. If the wind took it before that, before it got in front of his face, it's a problem. If the wind took it after it got in front of his face, then it's ksheru. What happens, God forbid, she splits up blood? You don't have to do it again, according to one day, The other day it says that Tafkets, she's motzetzes. What's motzetzes? She sucks it out. So there's got to be some saliva there. If she didn't suck it out, maybe it's all dam and it has to be saliva. Allah alamais. There's a famous Mordechai, Soser himself, that why don't we say Bittul Barov, right? The Gemara says it's good because there's some spit in there, and it, but even no role of it's dam. If you go based on Bittul Barov, it should be all dam. So the chiddush that they want to say, without getting into the steer, is that if when you talk about Bittul Barov, you got a fleshik soup and a drop of milk. They come once from right field, once from left field. They mix. But if they were germinated together, then there's no conflict that you could say one is bavat to the other. You follow me? If it germinated together, it's an origin together, then it's impossible to say bittul. Okay. Now, it's important that it should be her spit, natural spit. If she ate some garlic beforehand, or any type of food that increases spit, and the spit was flowing out of her mouth, that's nothing. It doesn't work. In fact, the minigas she shouldn't eat that day. Drinking also, she should, and also the drinking, I guess she should minimize, and she should minimize her speaking, in order that all the spit comes from herself. And she shouldn't, clean out her teeth. Kadesh lotorok dam. You don't want her to start doing her gums, because blood might come out in that day. Okay. Also, we read the psukim. We read the psukim to her standing. We say, kachi esel ish. V'nikra shmo b'Yisrael beis chalutza now. It's a mitzvah on all the audience to stand and say chalutza now. So, again, you read the psukim, you prepped him, you prepped her, you prepped him. They did the chalitza, they did the rekika, and then they read this psukim here at the end, where he says, kachi esel ish, and everyone standing around says chalutza now, and the yeshomrim that said the yavam also says it as well. Okay, so we have this important chiddush. The Seder is not ma'akev if you mix up the order, okay? And even if you do chalitza alone, we said it's k'shera. That's all if they're able to speak. But in Elim and Lemes and Ketana, their chalitza is psula, and they're not like a shaita, that's a nothing. Shota that does it, and a katan is like it doesn't register, and you can still even do yibum. We say, v'yeshom l'chuladin, chalitza is chareshes, chareshes is not klum. And some say it's a chalitza is psula, chareshes, chareshes, like in Elim and Elemes. Now you need kavanah. There's kavanah that is needed. Now I want to get to this. Reb Chaim is masmas is machlik the Rambam ki Yosef whether you need aidin l'kiyumi adavar or aidis l'vruri adavar. What does that mean? By gittin v'kiddushin you need aidin. They're quintessential. They're essential. Okay. So l'maisa if you don't have aidin there's no getter kiddushin. By dini mamas if I lend a guy money even though there's no aidin he still owes me the money, right? It's recommended I get aidin. What about by chalitza and yibum? So it's a machleik the Rambam kiyosim. Is this a category that requires a high level of das, or is it just kavana? If it requires a high level of das, you need aidim. If it's just kavana, you don't need aidim. So we need the oven, the oven to have kavana, that it matters her. What happens if he has kavana, she doesn't, or he doesn't, and she does, it's psula. It's a chalitza psula. Let's say that she grows up near her brother-in-law's, and she happened to one day take off their shoes. What's the din? It's also to do yibum. Because maybe they had kavana to do chalitza. Kolzman, we don't see her ever do that. That she's mutter to yibum. We're not kosher that she took off one of the shoes, even though she hangs out with them. We're not chayshus. Okay, what happens if she spits l'maisa? If she's rakach b'fnei ayabim b'fnei beizdin nifsulim l'sabim. Let's say she spit in front of the brother-in-law, in front of beizdin. Then that's it. Even though she didn't intend that to be spitting for chalitza, she's possible the yibum. Others say that's only when she does spit. If she spits down, even though the spit's mixed up and it doesn't possible. What we say, you should be very careful, the yavam should not spit in front of the yavim konam chalitza, in order that what? Because remember, the spitting's done when? After the removal of the shoe, right? You don't want to spit before, because if you spit before, then it'll make it a chalitza psula, and she's got to what? She'll have to go on, you have to do all the brothers in this case. It's an interesting din. This type of chalitza, you need chalitza from all the brothers. Usually we don't assume like that. She should be careful not to spit beforehand in order that the chalitza will not be a psula. In this case, we require a special knas that she requires chalitza from all the brothers in such a case to be totally free. It's a very big chiddush. Okay. Halacha l'mais, how do we pass it by the blind man? Shilchachili shouldn't do it if he did it. There's a yesh arman that says that if he's the only brother, you can even do a l'chachilu. In other words, she won't be a what? won't be niguna. And a blind man is only someone who's blind in both eyes. He has one eye vision, it's not a problem. A katana that does, below the ear, she told that it's chalitza, for a god of chalitza psu, and she's passing all the brothers. When she gets older, she can do chalitza from one of them. She doesn't have to go on all the other brothers on this halach. Yes, go ahead, Jonathan.
Isn't the fact that there is a level of chalitza psula that indicates that it's a mitzvah? If you did chalitza psula, then she's already matir from the other.
Could be, but you could also say it's a matir and it was done wrong, so it does register.
But it is matir.
No. Chalitza means the chalitza that works. Is it a mitzvah or a matzah? That's the two approaches.
Right. If it's a matzah,
yes.
And she did a chalitza psula, then she is
matzah
for doing yivam.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't matter. It passes her from doing yivam, but she still got it. Doesn't release her to everyone else in the world. When I say it's a matzah, it matters to everyone else in the world. Okay. Yes, Aiden.
What's the kind of chalitza where you need to do chalitza on all the brothers?
The one which we said is that she spit before doing the chalitza. That's the one where you require all the brothers. Whereas the case of if a katana did it with a gadol, you don't need chalitza for all the brothers. When she gets older, all she needs is chalitza with one of them. What's a chalitza mutes? A mistaken chalitza. Let's say you coax the guy into a chalitza on the condition she gives him 200 zuz. It's ksherit, even if she doesn't give him anything. Even if you're double the tanai. And even if he said to Bishas Chalitza, now she shouldn't marry anyone, it's nothing. The Chalitza is Ksheir, even if you don't give her the money. She's Chayav is still to give him the money, you know, like any other condition it's made, but the Chalitza is Ksheir. Now what happens if she claims she doesn't want to marry the guy? Because she doesn't think he's a good guy. He's still Chayav to do Chalitza. She doesn't want to do Yubim, but he's still Chayav to do Chalitza, right? She doesn't want to marry the guy, but he doesn't want to do the Chalitza. So we trick him into doing Chalitza that she'll give him $200. So it's a good chalitza, and she doesn't have to give him a thing. Even if she gave the money to him, or gave it to a third party, then she can't go back, she's got to give it to him. Okay. After the chalitza is done, the Beis Din writes a shtar, it's called a get chalitza, to prove that it was done. Halach alamaisin. If it wasn't written, anyone that was around that saw it could testify. Halach alamaisin. And the psukim that are written in there, we actually underline with sirtu, halach alamaisin. Because we want to make sure that when you write a pasuk, you have to do sirtu to lachol ma'is. Okay, let's stop here. I want to wish everyone hatzlach on finals, and God willing, Lynette, I'll see you next semester. Okay, lachol ma'is. Okay, very well. Good to see you. I think we got everyone here. Okay.
Can I see the picture again?
Yeah, sure.